Welcome to the first episode of a brand new podcast series, The Cricket Enthusiast. Before we dive into the episode, let me give you a brief introduction to the podcast. Myself, Kaushik Lakshman, and my co-host Mehul Jain, we will be sharing our perspectives and opinions on the cricket verse, its rivalries, umpiring, controversies, and discuss the upteen number of cricket matches that takes place around the world at any given point of time. Mehul Jain is actually an ECB certified umpire. Mehul, if you could introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thank you, Kaushik, and hello to viewers and listeners all over. I am based out of London, and I am a wicketkeeper and a slow top order batsman who also happens to be an umpire now, an ECB certified umpire. So it's interesting to be on this podcast and looking forward to the journey. Thanks, Kaushik.
This is really great. We have an in-house umpire who can now give his take on so many of the umpiring controversies that seem to be taking place all the time. So the next time a wrong decision hands England the World Cup in a final, we know whom to turn to ask for clarification.
So that's a bit too far-fetched, but okay, I'll try to give the World Cup to India next time, whenever I'm there.
As for myself, I'm a digital communications professional currently based out of Switzerland. Starting off as an IT engineer, I eventually graduated to working in the communications field. I am also a digital sports show host on YouTube, a sports writer, and like most Indians, have a deep abiding love for cricket from the age of 6. My first cricket memories are those of watching Tendulkar bat in the 90s, especially from the 1996 World Cup onwards. For this first episode, we will talk about how you can become a cricket umpire. Mehul, our in-house cricket umpire, will take us through the process and his experiences. Umpiring is a very unique aspect of a game because not much is known about how one becomes an umpire. How an everyday fan like you or me can graduate to becoming an official umpire. Mehul has done the drill. He has actually gone on from umpiring backyard cricket in Ajmer to umpiring in Sunday cricket in England. So Mehul, could you please enlighten us as to how you went about becoming an ECB accredited umpire?
Yeah, so obviously, I mean, growing up in India, it was pertinent, right? I mean, you play cricket. There is no choice. I mean, you start very early. So I got my first bat at the age of 4, I think. And, you know, obviously, since then, I haven't looked back. Because of my career, sometimes the focus was, you know, on different things. And I sort of was just watching stuff and not playing and all that. But yeah, so when I was a kid, I chose wicket keeping. For a very good reason, you know, you get the best view and you get involved in the action all the time. And I was lazy. So if I missed a ball, which used to happen quite a lot, you know, I mean, I was not keen to run after it. No running for me. Sorry, I'll not do that. So, you know, in the spring of 2020, or rather in the winter of 2020, I started to, you know, research quite a bit on what I can do because I'd been in England by that time for more than 3 years, and I was itching to play, but my work was such that, you know, I was not getting enough time, and there was a bit of lethargy as well, right? So I looked up on the ECB website and then found a way that I could at least, you know, attend a course not very far from where I lived, which was in, you know, Middlesex, and I went ahead and booked that. But then COVID hit and they canceled it. They said, sorry, I will, you know, refund your money and, you know, it's not going to happen and we don't have any further dates and so on. I said, okay, another pipe dream, not going to happen. I don't know when, you know, things will sort of pipe. So this happened sometime in March when we had the lockdown. And then in June/July, they opened, you know, sort of slightly, England opened slightly. And they said you could perhaps have physical activity, you know, once a day. And a few of us got together, we started playing cricket with the hard ball, and it was after maybe 10 years I took up the hard ball and in my hand, and the feeling was really, really good. As it was England, it rained one Saturday, and Sunday morning 11 a.m. we you know, were, you know, at the pitch, and immediately after training I started, you know, I was a little, you know, again, not that careful. I didn't wear my spikes that day, and I was collecting a regulation, you know, a ball in the leg side. I was keeping, and lost my footing, and did my knee in, and it was a terrible, terrible injury. And then I was like, okay, I mean, that's things over for me. I came to India, in early 2021, and then one of my doctors, who I was, who's a good friend as well, he told me, you have to give up wicket keeping. It's not going to work out for you. And I was like, okay, I mean, I've been doing this throughout my whatever cricket career I've had, an interesting one. We'll talk about that a little later. But so when I did that, I thought, okay, I mean, it's over. I mean, it's not going to happen. They're not going to play me. I mean, nobody is going to play me in the 11. So umpiring is the way forward. And just in time, I got sort of an invitation from ECB that if you are still interested, we have designed this module, online module, and you can take up the level one certification. And over one weekend, I just devoured it. So I spent close to, let's say, about 18 to 20 hours over the weekend, and just did the exam Sunday night and got my certification. So I was like, we're pretty happy. But then I thought, okay, what's next? I mean, because when I was on their website, they said, level two is more of a classroom-based course, because it had some activities to be done and certain things which they wanted to do. And obviously, the county cricket apparatus got involved, and then all of that because they wanted to promote the game. So yeah, I mean, good fun. So in 2022, I got the opportunity again. ECB emailed me. They are very good with the reminders and everything once you register or express your interest. So I did a 2 week, 2 weekends rather, in a sleepy sort of a place in Berkshire, and it was quite interesting because I got lost because it was so remote. The place. It was in a village, cricket ground. England has this tradition. Every village has at least one cricket team, if not less, more. And when I walked in, it was quite interesting because the ground was beautiful, the clubhouse was ancient, and when I entered the room, all the blokes who were sitting there were above 55, grey-haired, proper Englishmen, and I was, a non-Englishman. And on the wrong side of 50, so as to speak. So they were just looking at me with, oh, and obviously when I went and sat there, that's where the classroom sort of training began, and it was fun.
Whoa, it's a very interesting setup. Do they have any criteria as to who can become an umpire in the ECB system? Because I think in India at least, and maybe in other countries as well, there are some basic prerequisites such as you should have played cricket to a certain level, maybe at a district level or maybe at a club cricket level. So does the ECB have any such criteria?
I'm not sure of the BCCI criteria, because one of my friends long back, I think 5 years back, was telling me that he wanted to do such a course. And I think that's where, somewhere it got stuck in the head as well, maybe. I'm not very sure. So in England, the state of the sport is quite, different than what it is in India. In India, you have a very large sort of a user base, if I may call it that. And you have kids playing cricket anywhere and everywhere, all across the country. With IPL and all those things, I mean, obviously there is a bit of a money element also involved, so people are kind of interested, or at least the parents don't stop their kids to play, rather than what it was in the 80s or 90s when we grew up. So in England, the structure is quite different. There is not much of a base, and kids are interested more in football or tennis or swimming or whatever. There's a large variety of sports. The sports facilities in general are pretty good at local level, as well as as you graduate up the ranks. But with cricket, the thing is, yes, it's there, but then it's in pockets, and it's played mainly by in very conservative areas, or in areas where you have a large presence of Asians. So that's how it is. And ECB, because of all these things, and young people not taking it up, they have started on a lot of programs to actually bring people closer to the game. Umpiring is one way, coaching the other. Because what happens usually is through the when you play great cricket in England, which is under 9, under 11, and so on, and school level, it's usually the parents who come to these games and stay over for the entire duration of the game, right? And ECB got those people involved as well. And some of the parents, you know, are coaches. Some of the parents, you know, get into umpiring. They, you know, maintain the grounds and stuff. So it's more of, you know, getting people involved and trying to get more sort of a user base. ECB also runs a STARS program, if I remember correctly. And it is for kids, and they, you know, actually give out plastic cricket kits for, you know, children to play in the backyard and just to get a feel of the game. Yeah. One of my friends, you know, he has taken up coaching, and he was telling me that, you know, the coaching manual, again, you know, staying in the same vein that ECB is trying to promote the game. For the first, you know, 3 or 4 year olds or 5 year olds, they don't actually coach them. They just encourage them to pick up the bat and play. So that's the sort of a background you have in terms of what, you know, is being done to promote the game there. So yes, umpiring, I mean, there is no coming back to it. There is no criteria as such. You can, you know, if you love the game, if you think, you know, standing in rain, wind, and, you know, listening to people shout at you all the time is your cup of tea on a Saturday morning. Yes, you know, take it up. That's how
way to promote umpiring. Yeah. So coming back to the training itself, how many levels are there in the training and what do they involve?
So we are supposed to know the MCC law book, not by heart, but, you know, I mean, in spirit, because the way, I mean, and cricket is very different in the sense that, you know, it has laws, not rules, right? And the interpretation of those laws is where, you know, the ambiguity comes in, and then you blame or you see all these funny things happening, right? So you're supposed to know the laws. You get a standard issue MCC, you know, blue book. It's this small, this big. I mean, it can fit in your hand. And it has all the 42 laws and the 43rd, which is the spirit of the game and all that. But, you know, you don't talk about it. So, you know, that much. So 42 laws of the game. And, you know, you're expected to know them. So you read them very, very carefully. And when the training happens, they test you on your interpretation of it. Like, you know, okay, what would you have done in such a situation? So even for the e-learning module, it was kind of similar. And then, you know, you're knowing, you should know the wording of the law. Because, you know, a lot of these things, for example, controversial catches, which you see, right, where the person started from, where his foot was, you know, all those sort of things, whether, you know, the bowler arm is, you know, at a certain angle or not, or is past
vertical,
you know, something vertical or whatever you call it, right? So all these, you know, intricacies or nuances, right, and the ability to judge all of that, you know, keeping it in your head, it's kind of difficult. So I would say if you have not played the game, it becomes a little tougher. Because, you know, then you have to learn everything. And, you know, I don't think you will have any umpire who hasn't, you know, actually played or watched the game for quite a long time. Because then, you know, it's a little, you know, premature to get into umpiring. So prerequisites are very clear. I mean, you should love the game. You should, you know, should be able to, you know, do all those things in the sense that interpret the laws. So coming back to... what happened in that? So interpretation of laws, especially, you know, LBWs, those are controversial ones because LBWs and runouts rather. So let's start with the LBWs first. So LBWs, it took a lot of time for us to understand because, you know, it's all about your feel for how the ball will behave if the batsman was not there, right? At the point of, after the point of impact, which is absolutely, you know, theoretical, to be fair. So you need to know the conditions, you need to know the pitch, you need to know how the bowler was bowling in general, and you know where the batsman is starting from and whether, you know, it is going to hit the wicket or not. Right? So it's all of these things, I mean, they were taught to us with the very practical examples, you know, demonstrations and of course videos of very popular controversies or, you know, which have become, you know, very sort of etched in public memory, you know. That, for example, they showed, you know, Tendulkar ducking on that, you know, infamous Australian tour in 99. I think it was 99. So, you know, so we were asked, you know, and Daryl Hare was technically not wrong in giving that out because by the rules, I mean, as an Indian, you feel, you know, sort of betrayed that how can you give that out? But then he was probably right, a little on the dodgy side, but, you know, I mean, if you're an Aussie, you could, you know, definitely say that, okay, push the sort of point in that direction of decision. But it's quite interesting.
I find this particular decision extremely interesting. At the time, I was very young and had no idea that such a decision could be given. But even when I have seen this decision so many times later on YouTube, it seems to me that from the ball's trajectory, maybe it was going to miss the stumps, it was going to go above the bails. The issue I have with this decision is that, okay, he ducked, he was hit on the upper arm, but people never somehow seem to discuss the fact that maybe the ball is going to miss the stumps. At least that's what it appears to me.
You are right, but then there is this important element. I mean, if I go into the nuances, the fact that
Yeah.
he didn't offer a shot, right? He just
Yeah.
sort of swayed out of. Maybe Daryl Hare took that as his decision point on that, right? And it is sort of immaterial whether the ball is going to hit the stumps or not if you don't offer a shot, and if you are if you pad up, right? I mean, if you remember Jimmy Adams, right? In the 90s, he used to pad up. He was nicknamed Paddums for that matter, right? Anything outside
Yeah.
leg stump, he'll just pad it up. You can't do that anymore in cricket, right? I mean,
Yeah,
that's sort
thanks
of
to DRS.
thanks to DRS, and it's been taken out of equation anyway, right? I mean, you cannot sort of off just take your bat away and your
Yeah.
bat. Tendulkar probably was it was a version of that, and that played on Daryl Hare's mind. And obviously, there were other factors at play as well, which we have seen in
Yeah.
2008 and all those
Oh, yes.
controversial tours as
Yeah.
well. So, it spices things up, doesn't it?
Of course it does. Whoa, this decision raised enough eyebrows to be included in the umpiring training sessions of the ECB. So, what was the opinion of the trainers as to what factors umpires need to consider while giving these kind of unconventional decisions? Was there a general agreement that in this particular case, this decision was the right one?
So if I look at it, at normal speed, without the facility of a referral, right? Probably, and if I don't, get in awe of Tendulkar, right? I mean, that there's this guy Tendulkar who has done pretty great things in life, and people have actually come him to bat and not me to umpire, that sort of a thing, right? Probably, Daryl Hare would have given him out, or I mean, that's the reason he gave him out. And probably I would have given him out as well, because it was a little, I mean, the ball didn't rise that much, to be fair, right? Because Tendulkar is not a tall man, and if it hits him on the elbow, if I remember correctly, if he's ducking,
Yeah, it hit him on the, I
anything could
think,
have happened.
yeah, somewhere in the upper,
Elbow or upper
yeah.
arm, somewhere here, right?
Yeah.
So probably I would have given him out. I mean, take the Tendulkar bit out of the equation, take the Indian bit out of equation, just a machine, if a machine is sort of evaluating, probably I would have given him out as well, because he didn't offer a shot. He
Okay.
just ducked to a delivery, didn't follow the line of the ball at all. He's just trying to get out of the way, and his bad luck that day.
Do they use DRS in the training sessions as the technology has become such an integral part of international cricket now?
No, so because it is not available as a tool to us, right? I mean, when you are
Okay,
actually
yeah.
doing it for a club game, it didn't make sense to go for the DRS. But then obviously we were shown certain clips which had those things, and the questions or the debates were around those questions, that without the DRS, what is your decision? And then the DRS and the replays and all those things are shown. So no, not at
Okay.
that level. Probably at the next level, maybe level three, or I mean, as you graduate, you are actually have to sort of reskill, retrain, going forward. So it becomes a little trickier. But then we don't have, what's the worst that could happen, right? I mean, if you don't have a replay at all, I mean, you are going to get an earful from maybe, the home team or the away team, right? And everybody's gonna probably forget about it after a few beers, right? But no, I mean, I don't think that's something which is that important or material.
So how many levels are there, like totally? Like you have clear two.
Yeah, so I think the next stage is actually to get accredited, in the sense that, or be impaneled onto the Middlesex or any county which is your home county. Now that if you do that, then if you have certain number of matches under your belt, and as you gain an experience, you get a chance to umpire at further levels, and then they evaluate you. So those are called level three, level fours, or whatever. But then that is the process. So it is not that straightforward. It takes a lot of time to come up through the ranks, but you have to start somewhere.
I simply have to ask this question. Do they have special webinars and sessions on how mankading is bad?
So there was a lot of interest, and I think we were shown, you know, clips as some clips as well, as far as I remember, in the, you know, or at least we discussed, right? So there was this Josh Butler and, you know, Ashwin thing, which was very hot at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not an umpire's prerogative at the end of the day, right? I mean, if it's, you know, still lawful, we have to give it out if somebody appeals. If somebody withdraws it, like the other day, you know, Rohit did, well, good for them. But then, you know, it's all, you know, I mean, if a player asks a question, if it's valid, you know, you have to give out. That's all. If they don't appeal, I've seen, you know, some umpires, some really old umpires in some test matches, you know, sometimes they would give out when nobody's appealing. I think I saw once or twice. But then the rule, or, you know, the general rule of the thumb is, I mean, you don't give out unless anyone appeals, right? Unless it's obviously a clean, okay, bold decision when the bails are dislodged, yeah, and everything. You don't give out. If nobody's appealing, you don't give out. Yeah. So, mankading, I mean, there is no sort of, you know, controversy as such. I mean, obviously the term, yeah, I mean, I agree. It's not that appealing to, at least to Indians, and they want to change it. And, you know, MCC is very clear. They don't use that term. You know, at least you know, they call it a run-out, that's, which is fine. But then it's not that much of a controversy. If somebody appeals, you give out. That's all I would say.
So from an umpire's perspective, it's not a big deal. It's just like any other decision. If the bowler appeals, you give it out.
Exactly. I mean, if it's lawful, you give out. You give it out. And, you know, there's not going to be a special note in my match report saying that, oh, you know, team A, you know, monkered, you know, person X, and, you know, it was not in the spirit of the game. That's not going to be a footnote, because obviously it's a valid mode of dismissal.
What is there in the umpire's match report?
Yeah, so there is, you know, a match report which you are supposed to write if it's a league game. So it's a little more formal. And, you know, you write about all the interruptions, you write about, you know, the scores, you write about what's happened, any incidents, any warnings you've given to anyone, and, you know, any sort of special observations. For example, you know, a heavy roller was used at this point in time, let's say 4:15 p.m. on day one, when the score was this. Yeah. So those sort of things. And then any special observations, and, you know, what happened, and, you know, if the captains asked for any special considerations and all that. So all of that goes into, okay, the match report.
Is it submitted to the match referee?
There's no match referee at, you know, club level as such. You know, I mean, there are officials, right? So, I mean, it goes into, let's say, a league's official, you know, sort of roster, and, you know, all those things.
Okay. Theoretically, like, how far can you progress, and from where you are at the moment, level 2 accreditation, if you actually start umpiring for club games, I mean, how far can you actually reach in the system?
Yeah, so theoretically, I can be in the ICC, you know, elite panel if I continue, and if my eyesight holds, okay, good. Yeah, but it's a long, long sort of, you know, walk, I would say. Okay, because, you know, and that's where it gets interesting, you know, because how much time you give to something, that becomes, you know, really, really important. So you spend 6 months, you spend another 6 months, you know, doing stuff, because the way people do, right? I mean, they play one county season in Australia, and then they come over to England and play another 6 months. So they 24/7. So they get into that professional mode. So if you want to do that, then, you know, you have to dedicate your life to it, and it becomes that. So Theoretically, there is no limit. Practically, there is a small matter of running your household as well.
Practically, do you see yourself umpiring in a test match at Lord's, or maybe in a World Cup final someday?
Lords, maybe, but not a World Cup final, because Lords is my same home county, right? So maybe if I progress well enough into my, let's say, 50s, as usually the umpires usually are, maybe I'll, you know, officiate a game at Lords. Why not? I mean, I could definitely do that.
I cannot leave an umpire without asking this question. Like, what is the spirit of the game?
it's very, very interesting. You know, I mean, I think it's to do with, you know, goodwill on the ground. That's how I see it. Because, you know, if there are two teams, right, it's a game at the end of the day. And you're not, sort of, fighting battles as, some TV channels would have you believe, right? I mean, that's not the case. You're not in a, not in a crucible. You are not in the firing line. Those are different things. Those are very, very serious things. It's a game at the end of the day where you want to, sort of test yourself against, your opposition and, have fun at the same time. Now, if it gets a little ugly, then, that's not the spirit of the game because we want to have fun at the end of the day without, sort of offending the other party. So that to me, is sort of spirit of the game in simplistic terms. But yeah, I mean,
Okay.
it can get a little difficult at times.
Yeah, because it's not laid out anywhere, right?
Yeah,
I mean
isn't
anything
that the
that's
beauty of
open
it? I
to
mean,
multiple, yeah.
isn't that the beauty of it? I mean, it's open to interpretations. You just, go with the flow. You use your judgment. Yeah.
Oh,
Sort of builds
absolutely.
character.
Oh, as an umpire, that's why it's very interesting to hear your point of view as an umpire, who's trained to maybe just follow the laws and ignore all these ignore all the external stuff.
No, I agree. And umpires always work in pairs, like fast bowlers, and that's where it actually gets interesting because you have a senior colleague and a junior colleague. But then, when you are, the umpire at the bowler's end, it is your decision. So, I mean, you can consult with probably a senior
Right.
colleague who's a square leg umpire in that case, but it is your decision. So you have to just, bear the brunt of whatever has happened, whether, this decision was right, wrong. Spirit of the game was followed, not followed, and you have to run a tight ship. You have to make sure that both the teams know that and they respect you. And you have to set the boundaries, very, very clearly. So some umpires, if you look at a David Sheppard, right, for example, when he used to do stuff, he used to be very stern in the way he wanted things to be set up. And
Okay.
probably, he regulated the game very well. Today, if you see, Richard Illingworth, he's good. Then, if you look at somebody like, let's say, Venkatraghavan in recent times, I mean, he doesn't do it anymore. He was pretty good. He was pretty firm with, the players. So all these things, I mean, the spirit of the game and the way the game should run, and I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, what's going to happen, and how people are going to walk away from the, let's say, the cricket field. That's very important. And diffusing tensions and all those things, pointing out, rightly that, get, people in line and all that. So that's how I see, an umpire's role, basically.
I'm looking forward to hearing more stories from you when you start umpiring in the cricket league over there, and I'm sure you'll have many interesting anecdotes to share in the future, and our listeners will also enjoy it a lot more. It's a very unique perspective. So Behul, thank you so much. It was great fun, and hopefully we'll be back with another episode very soon, the two of us. In the next episode we can talk a little bit about the recent umpiring talking points. There are so many changes. Even the ICC and MCC are responding to some updates, so we could probably talk about that in the next episode.
Yeah, we could do that. And there are some very, very funny stories which I have heard from really veteran umpires. So those are those could be brought in as well. Some of
Oh,
them
absolutely.
for some of them are PG 18
That's
or
okay.
UA, but then we could do that. The language gets a little colorful sometimes when in north of
Yes.
England. But yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing those stories, and I'm sure our listeners as well. With that, it's a wrap on this first episode of the Cricket Enthusiast Podcast. If you enjoy listening to this episode, please share it with your friends, family, and on your social media, and help spread the word. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Cricket Enthusiast is a podcast which is hosted by Kaushik Lakshman and Mehul Jain. The podcast is created, produced, and edited by me, Kaushik Lakshman.